One night, many years ago, when one of our daughters was very young, she said that a friend had told her that whatever she asked for God for, she would get. Fearing that she would begin to think of God as some magical provider of fun things, I tempered her newfound teaching by saying that God did indeed answer prayer, but not always in the way that we expected. I told her that sometimes God knew what was best for us, so that we couldn't always count on getting exactly what we wanted. She thought about this for a minute, and then said, "So, if I ask God for a bird, then I'll get a bunny?" So, at the ripe old age of 3, this child made her first attempt to work the system when it came to talking to God. And sometimes, this sort of thinking is carried into adulthood, with the idea that if we ask in just the right way, or use just those right words, or bargain with a big enough chip, then we will get what we so desperately want. Which means that our prayer life can sometimes resemble "let's make a deal," or even sound like some sort of itemized shopping list laid out for God to check off each line. But since life rarely works out exactly how we wish, this approach sets us up for disappointment, and we are left wondering why we didn't get what we wanted. So how do we pray? And what are our expectations? When I was a child, I used to think that it had to be done on my knees, by my bed, at night. That was it. But I soon discovered that rather than praying, I was thinking about how much my knees hurt and how much I wanted to go to bed. So that didn't work very well. And I'd have to say that my expectations for prayer were pretty low, for I'd grown up in a way that taught me more about my own unworthiness rather than God's generosity and love. But over the years, I discovered that I could pray anytime and any place. And I learned that God loved me in spite of myself. So my spiritual life then began to grow and became much deeper. However, I would guess that every person here has their own story about prayer, which means that there are as many different ways to pray as there are people in this room. So there is really not one correct way to pray, for what works for one person may not work for another. And what we expect from prayer, well, that's usually tempered by our own image of God, our feelings about ourselves, and what we learned over the years on how to relate to God. With all this in mind, then, it's a good discipline to occasionally reflect on how, when, and why we do pray, and ponder its meaning and its purpose in our lives. Because as with any relationship, if we don't think about how we communicate with God, which is mainly through prayer, because anything we say really is a prayer, and if we don't think about it, then there's a chance that we'll get lazy or neglectful, and our spiritual life may become shallow and unnurtured. However, we only really need to look at the Gospels for our best example of a rich prayer life, for in them it is often noted how Jesus went off to pray. And the disciples surely noticed this, for they asked him to teach them how to pray. And Jesus responded not only with a prayer with which we are now intimately familiar, what we call the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus also made some additional teaching about the nature of the one to whom they prayed. And both parts of his lesson are important. For since prayer is the way we communicate with God, it's helpful to think about the nature of the one whom we pray to. So, what did Jesus tell the apostles? Well, first, he invited them to address God as Father, an intimate term in that culture that implies a relationship. Then he told a story that encouraged persistence, and went on to remind them of just how generous our Heavenly Father is, Therefore, when we pray, we are to expect good things. So he taught them and us to ask, seek, and knock, and be confident that God will respond. The model, then, that Jesus gives us is one of open communication, involving the give and take of a loving relationship. We are invited to participate in this relationship in whatever way we wish, and we are to use that relationship to nourish our life of faith. The trouble, however, comes when we pray that we find that our prayers are not answered as we wanted. Instead, jobs are lost, people get sick, relationships are broken. We still suffer pain and grief, and we learn that prayer is not a guarantee against heartache and loss. But if God is good, why is that so? And how do we reconcile the positive teachings we heard today with the reality of life as we know it? These are hard questions, but in truth, Jesus never promised that prayer would bring the exact answer that we desired. He only taught that God would answer. And since God gave us free will, we are bound to suffer the consequences of bad decisions and wrong choices, both our own and others. Also, we live in a world in which there is evil, hardship, disease, and death. Therefore, our lives are imperfect and sometimes very difficult. But our prayers don't rise to a God who is waiting to fix what is wrong with the world, ready at a moment's notice to mend what has been broken, if only enough people ask. Instead, the power of prayer lies in remembering the nature of God and inviting God's goodness, mercy, and love directly into our lives so that what can't be fixed can still in our hearts be healed. And what is broken may eventually be put back together in some useful and loving way. For God generously encircles our pain with his divine love and fulfills our expectations with abundant grace and endless mercy. So prayer is not to be the presentation of a shopping list or some sort of bargaining process, but instead is to be a sharing of our concerns, an appeal for God's support and strength, and a hope for God's wisdom and comfort. Prayer acknowledges our needs and lays them before God. And in doing that, we are changed, we are transformed, and it aligns us with God no matter what happens. So prayer is powerful, but it is not magical. And it invites God into our lives in ways that are both very holy and very risky. With this all in mind, then, may we each think very hard about how and when and why we pray, and consider carefully just what it is that we do expect. And may we continue to grow into a mature faith, which hopes to work in partnership with God rather than expecting God to fix everything. For as Pope Francis said, you pray for the hungry, then you feed them. That's how prayer works. So may we be persistently faithful and forever hopeful as we pray and work to bring about the reality of the kingdom of God for all of God's people. Amen.